You can ask my wife. I don't remember a lot of things, Brother Keller. I don't remember a lot of things. I know we met many, many years ago. I have been told that, but we're thankful for this, that this church has, I believe, the man that God sent here.
Amen.
And the Lord always works on both ends.
Yes.
He doesn't work on just the preacher. He works on the church also.
Amen.
And if that's not the case, it's really not going to work out at all, is it? It is good to be here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time saying how good it is to be here. I remember many years ago, I went to a Bible conference, and a lot of preachers there. They only had just a short period of time. May not have been 30 minutes to preach. And they would, each one, it seemed like, got up and spent a great deal of time explaining how much they enjoyed being there. It got to the point to where the pastor got up, and rightfully so, he said, "Look, we know you're glad to be here, but just don't mention it anymore. Don't say anything about it." Boy, whenever it come time for me to preach, I didn't want anybody to know it was good to be there. And I just didn't even mention it at all. But we've enjoyed this Bible conference, and I've enjoyed meeting some of the brethren that I have not personally met. I know those brethren more than they think I know them, because I've checked on them, just to be honest with you, in a good way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most righteous, beloved Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the occasion that we have, the purpose of our gathering. It is because of Him. It is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to ever be mindful of this. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless this church, and bless the pastor. And Lord, we pray for each of the brethren here, and we pray for their churches. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us our sin and our sin nature, helping us to look to you, knowing beyond any doubt that you are God. And dear Lord, as this conference ends, Lord, after all the songs have been sang, prayers have been offered up, after the message of thy word and all of it has been declared, may each and every one of us be able to, as we leave this building, say the preaching of the gospel has affected my life. And may it be so. And dear God, we pray that you would go with us and again lead us and direct us. It's in the blessed name of Christ Jesus that we ask these things for your sake. Amen.
Amen.
If you would open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, Romans the 5th chapter. I know you don't have a whole lot of time. You know, we don't have a lot of time preaching at a Bible conference as we do whenever we're in our home church. We have the liberty of preaching a little bit longer and such as that, but I always like to respect the time. Then I'm going to say I started about 3 o'clock. I don't know what you say. What you say amounts a whole lot more than what I say concerning that matter, but we do want to respect the time frame that we do have. Here in Romans chapter 5, and I want to begin reading in verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." I like to read that "having received the reconciliation," because it is translated, more so reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God, and that's another message within itself. I want to use verse 6 and concerning our subject. You know, these verses join many other passages in the Bible, being among God's great words. And we love the Word of God, each and every one, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. But there are particular passages in the Bible that we really just embrace and we enjoy. And we can remember them. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. We've heard quite a bit about Isaiah 53 here. The gospel, we have the gospel in Isaiah 53. Psalms, the 23rd chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The Hebrews, concerning of faith. Philippians, the 4th chapter. And a lot of people like to consider John, the 3rd chapter. And so many others, and I realize there's many others, but this verse right here has an impact, and it's always had an impact on me. These, as well as other verses, have brought comfort to the hearts of God's people, those that belong to the Lord. Here, what Paul is doing, he is rehearsing the very fact that we have faith and we have salvation, and it is all because of Christ for us. If you'll notice that, it is for us. You know, here in the 6th verse, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. They were ungodly, not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. These verses that we have just read, they make plain the provisions that we have through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for a purpose. Not only did he die for a purpose, but he died for something that was extremely valuable to him. Yes. Because he did all of this for us, not just for everybody. The us are those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. It was before the foundation of the world that all things were provided for us. For those whom were given to the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem. I've heard people say, you know, long, long ago in eternity past, there was a time that God selected certain ones. There is no such thing as time in eternity past, as there is no such thing as time in a futuristic state.
Amen.
It is not time. God has always purposed what he has purposed, and he is going to fulfill each and every bit of it. We see what we are without him. We see what he has accomplished for us and what he still accomplishes for us. There in verse 8, Romans 5 in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you ever got back and just thought that everything that God has done for his people, for us? The Son was provided. He created man, and he knew full well what that man was going to do. Whenever God created Adam, he didn't create another God. And people can talk about what if and what if, but that's immaterial. God Almighty created man, but he did not create perfection. Now, there was harmony, but Adam could sin. You know how I know he could sin? Because he did sin. The Lord Jesus Christ could not sin, and he has never sinned. I mean, he's God, and God can't sin. Somebody said, well, and I've actually heard somebody say this, if he would have wanted to, then he could have sinned. There's no way in the world he could have even wanted to sin, want to sin. That's God. God can't sin. He has no desire for sin. Look at all that was put upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary whenever he laid down his own life. All of the sins and every bit of the sins, if there's one sin that was not placed upon Christ, that is not the full salvation for that individual. It had to be complete. There was not a drop of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was spilled. He utilized all of that blood. We may not understand all there is there, but that's God, and that's the blood of God, and there's a whole lot to that. It is not man. I know the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world, a body was prepared for him. He had taken that perfect body and he lived a perfect life.
Amen.
An impeccable life.
Amen.
He was mistreated, and that's just saying it very, very lightly. He went to Calvary and laid down his own life. They have tried to kill Christ. No one could kill the Son of God. He said, he would lay it down himself. And that's what he did. He laid down his own life. And he laid it down so that he could take it again. Why did he do that? For us. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are among the us. We. I love those words. Us and we. For us. Those two words sum up the content of this message. Now, the reason I said just a little while ago, we have more liberty at home, so I'll preach this, Brother Mike, after we get back to Oakdale. In the full sense, we've had three of our members, Brother Harold and Karen, they came. Of course, they had to leave. Another engagement going on this evening. Brother Mike, he's been with us for a while now. I've learned to love Brother Mike. You folks know him, those of you here who remember Brother Mike, whenever he was here, he loves the Lord. And I'll tell you what, the Lord loves him too. I want you to notice with me just a few things, and I'll have to just skim through it, but pray for me. The sinner's pitiful condition. He's in a pitiful state. That's every person that is born into this world. And I'm not preaching anything new. I'm not preaching anything that you'll say, oh, I've never heard that. Well, you know, every person born into this world is born depraved and alienated, separated from God. They don't love God. They don't love God. Hear what the Apostle Paul tells us, that man's condition can be summed up by four descriptive terms. Without strength. In verse 6. When you're lost, you're without strength. You don't have any strength. Now, there's a lot of people who don't have any strength, but he's talking more than just strength or the ability to have a little bit of strength. He said, you're without strength. And I'll show you if I have time in just a minute. Ungodly. Ungodly. Sinner. That's a terrible word. Being a sinner. Being a lost sinner. There was a time that we were all lost sinners. Those of you who are saved, you're a saved sinner, but you're still a sinner. Saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And enemies.
Right.
And enemies. Without strength in verse 6. Ungodly in verse 6. And there in sinner verse 8. And then enemies in verse 10. These four terms describe the condition of each and every one who is lost in an unregenerate state. This is God's portrait of humanity apart from God. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the sinner is weak. He doesn't have any strength. Again, in verse 6, and when we were yet without strength. Now here's a Christian saying we. Born again, he belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, but whenever we were yet without strength, in due time, in the time of God's love, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, he died for the ungodly. Those who would not go to God, those who didn't love God, those who had absolutely no use for God. This verse is telling us he's powerless. Doesn't have any power. How many people are there out there today that think they have power just to call God down to them whenever they're ready for it? Or to do a certain thing. That they have the ability to turn the very head of God or change the mind of God. Or to get God to do something whenever they get ready for God to do something for them. That makes just about as much sense as a screen door on a submarine. It just don't work. It doesn't work. It speaks of being helpless without any means of escape. I mean, a person who is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ is in a serious condition. Whenever he or she leaves this world, if they leave this world in that same state, they'll know more about hell than any child of God knows about it, because you won't be going to hell. They'll know more about it. I mean, the lost, those who are lost, stand before God with absolutely no ability to change what he is or what she is. They can't do that. Powerless to escape sin, powerless to escape death, powerless to escape the Satan, old Lucifer, and all that he does, powerless to please God. There's not a person in this building or in this world that can please God in the flesh. This flesh don't do it. It doesn't do it. Man is unable to change his sinful nature, who he is. He's unable to do that. He can't just change that by his own effort. He can't do it. There are those who talk about you work. I know someone and know him very, very, very well. He has made, he's every day he would make his children go and pray through. Pray through. Work it up. He's told me, I don't know how many times, you've got to work up your salvation. I know the Bible says that we're to work out our own salvation. I work my salvation out. You work your salvation out. I've got a garden at home, and it needs some help, I'll tell you. It's not doing well. And I work it out. Nobody comes to offer to help me work that garden out. It won't do anybody any good to come help me work out my salvation. It is your salvation because God gave it to you.
That's right.
I mean, it belongs to you. We should work it out, but you cannot work out the fact of being, of receiving that salvation. You didn't help God. I didn't help God at all. Man is totally powerless in strength and weakness in his sin.
Yeah.
Not only so, the sinner is a wicked man. That goes a long way. There's quite a bit of depth here because the scripture says ungodly. That's a terrible term. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We died for the ungodly. Now those ungodly people for whom he died, they will not and they have not gone to hell. But there are those ungodly people, very many of them who are in hell or who will be in hell before all is said and done.
Amen.
All of it. Literally, it is live your life. People live their life as though God does not even exist. As though there's no God. I mean, to be ungodly. You know, that doesn't mean that a person's got to go out and rob banks and adultery and fornication, just wallowing in sin and all those things. An unsaved church member is just as ungodly as any other sinner.
That's right. Amen.
And that goat can cause more trouble among the sheep in the church.
That's right. Yeah.
As well. Whenever one refuses to bow before God and they will not bow before God, then he sets himself up as to be his own God. He doesn't need God. Doesn't need him at all. Not only so, but the sinner is a wayward man. And not toward God. It says sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
You know, sinners, and I have read, and I'm sure that most of you have, is the sinner itself to miss the mark. I mean, you're aiming at a particular target, and if you aim at that target and you miss that target altogether, you've missed the mark. Well, there's people that you try to please God in the flesh and it's not going to happen. You try to help God to save you and it's not going to happen. To start with, man does not have a desire to be saved unless he's quickened. You must have life. You must have life. There's people that's dead in trespasses and sins. Whenever the scripture says that you're dead in trespasses and sins, brother, the terminology is just as dead spiritually as a person is dead physically.
Amen.
You're completely dead. There's no such thing as deader than dead. Or he's the deadest. There's dead people. He's deader than that other one. You're all dead. Never a person is dead in trespasses and sins.
That's right.
And that is without the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how hard a person might try to please God. Now, you know why a lot of them do this? They do this to help their own conscience. As far as a person really wanting to be a servant in God's service and to please God, they really don't want to do that. Not without a spiritual existence.
Right.
There must be a spiritual life. There's not a spiritual life a person doesn't care anything about God. He can set high standards. There are some that might do that. But he'll always, always fall short of the standard of God. And that God has set. Those who try to get to heaven by their own good works, they never will. To be almost right is to be almost wrong. The way in the world that God is pleased. Not only so, a sinner is a warlike man. Enemies. Says he, enemies. Notice in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son.
That's right.
Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen.
An enemy simply means an adversary. An enemy. If you have an enemy, they're against you. They're against you. God has enemies, they're against God. Whenever we were lost, whenever Christians who were lost, we were in the devil's camp. And that's not a good place to be because we were enemies. We opposed God. We opposed the things of God. We were the enemy of God. Doesn't make any difference how much one talks about loving God. And I've heard people do that. If you're an enemy of God, you don't love God. If you don't belong to God, you don't love God. And certainly if you're not born again, if you're not born again, you don't. Now let me go on. What about our Lord's compassion? The power. Just notice the power of the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus coming into this world and assuming the perfect human nature and dying a vicarious death? Been buried 3 days. And that resurrection, that certainly proves the justification of his people. And being seen of a lot of people and many days later ascending into glory as our Job's daysman. And being there. There are a few people that might die for a few people. You may die for a mom. You might die for a dad, a wife, a child. But who wants to die for an enemy? Jesus Christ did. Whenever he came into this world, he laid down his own life for those who had pitted themselves against him. We've heard of soldiers laying down their own lives for their comrades. In fact, we have a plaque in Oakdale, Louisiana right now in the meeting. Leroy Johnson. I didn't know him. I knew his brother very well. In World War II, he was with a platoon. He was a sergeant. He was with his group of men right there. And a hand grenade was thrown over in their midst. And he jumped on it and covered that thing with his own body. And he absorbed all the blast. I was surprised to read. I did a lot of reading, a lot of talking too. But he lived for a few hours before he even died. And that thing went off. That's amazing how that worked. Not a one of his comrades were wounded during that. And he's got it up there. He laid down his life for them. Now, he saved them right then, but that doesn't mean that he saved their soul. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And that's what he did. See, Christ come to this world, and he laid down his own life, suffered tremendously for those who had no use for him. I mean, this demonstrates the human capacity whenever one would lay down their life for somebody else to give our own lives for those that love us, but what about giving your life for those that hate you?
Right.
You want to see harm and trouble come.
Yeah.
Very, very few soldiers. I mean, they'll do it for the friend. Christians are soldiers in the Lord, in the battle of the Lord. What I mean is, we're like we've already heard right here, we have a responsibility and a privilege to go out and to declare the gospel and be concerned about the souls of people. And we ought to be concerned, and we should show that. And to teach truth. I hate whenever somebody goes out and tries to encourage somebody just to come to church, to get them to come there so they can have the numbers up in their church. And we've got that as well. The statement of his compassion in our chapter, and the 8th verse, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't you notice how God's love transcended anything, anything at all that humanity is able to produce?
Amen.
You can't do it at all. He put his love on display. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died, and we were yet sinners, is what the Bible says right here. We were weak. We were wicked, warlike. He died for us. He died for us. He didn't die for a people who loved him. He died for the ungodly.
That's right. Amen.
You know, a lot of people think this. They think that God is love. I mean, now, if God is love, why do bad things happen? And people go around, God loves everybody. I don't know how often I've heard that. God loves everybody. There's not a person that God hates. Of course, they don't consider Esau the enemies of God. They don't consider that at all. You know, we're sinners. Even after you're saved by the grace of God, don't think you cannot sin. And we need to go around and tell everybody, once I was saved, I have never failed God the first time. That's a lie. That's a lie. I was reminded many at the Bible conference. Where's Brother Joey? You were there. Who else was there? Brother Kelly was there too. I was reminded. This probably been 50 years ago. I remember reading one time a quote of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and I was reminded of what he had said one time. He said, and I may not quote it just right, but he said this: If someone speaks ill of you, don't be angry with them, because they don't know you're a whole lot terrible than they think you are. Yeah. And it's a fact, too. It's a fact. You know, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that it is Christ. My time's about gone, but I want to just bring up one more main thought, and then I'll be done. And I'm not even half through, but that's all right. The saints' conversion, our position. What is our position? Justified.
Amen.
Justified. In verse 9, Romans 5, much more then, being now justified. Why now? This is after conversion. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Not anything we did, it's something we had received. You hear people say, and I've heard it before, you need to make things right with God. No person can make things right with God. Only Jesus Christ could make things right between man and God. Now, if you're a Christian and you have fallen short and you're not doing what you should do, there's some things you need to make right. But things have already been made right between you and God. Only Christ can make things right between that lost sinner and God Almighty. We're able to stand. We're able to stand as monuments of grace right there in the very presence of God. I mean, justified. Basically, it means to declare a person not guilty. Though we have sinned, though we have fallen short, though we fail. And neglect. Neglect is a terrible thing. We have protection. We're protected. We're saved from wrath. We're saved from the terrible wrath of God. Look, we don't even have any idea of the strength and awe concerning the wrath of Almighty God. He's God. As we heard last evening, very well delivered message. We need to look to Him. We need to trust Him. We need to consider Him. If you get aggravated at the news, good, leave the thing alone. Or anything else. If we get aggravated at some of our actions, good. What we need to do is pray about it.
Amen.
And don't do that. And just don't do it. Being in Christ Jesus, we're protected from the wrath of God. No child of God need to ever fear dying and going to hell. Why? Christ has already paid the cost. You're already purchased. We're not our own. We're bought with a price.
Amen.
And that price is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, brother, for this privilege.